Our first scripture lesson comes from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. Let us hear God's word this morning. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when the fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that you did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You have met those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. Our New Testament lesson, brothers and sisters, comes from the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 37 on Pew Bible page 821. Let us listen to God's word. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things take place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware. Keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn. Or else he might find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we enter into the season of Advent, we ask that you would guide us and lead us and remind us of hope. Help us, Lord, to see not just hope in our world, but the hope to come. Help us to live and love and serve you, to make hope for things in this world a reality, to make peace and love and all of the things of Advent, not just words on a page, but an amazing reality in our world. Be with us, Lord, as we listen to your word, as it moves in and through us during this season of Advent. Open your word to us and guide us, O Lord. In your blessed and wondrous name we pray. Amen. What do we do as we wait? It's an interesting thing that this scripture sets out for us. As we light this first Advent candle of hope, the question we need to answer is, what do we do while we wait? As we wait, as we make ready. It's interesting that this particular scripture comes towards the end of the gospel. It's at the point where we're waiting for Christ to be betrayed, as the Last Supper stands on the horizon and is so close. And yet, here we stand in Advent, getting ready to celebrate Christ's birth. But there's a question of waiting that we need to work through. Christ warned his disciples and sought to impart wisdom to them before he not only died and rose, but before he ascended to heaven. It's an interesting moment to see both the time we wait, but the time the people of Israel waited as we wait for Christ to be born again. Advent's both a joyful time, but also a time of making ready, of preparing, as many of us see throughout our homes and throughout our neighborhoods. We see Christmas growing, being prepared for. But this passage is far from the happy hunting ground for those who are focused on the end of the world, as it sounds. But it's a time of maintaining and waiting patiently. It's easy to look at this scripture and see the signs that Christ speaks of and dredge them up and talk about how bad things are, as people have done for the last 2,000 years. But instead of trying to predict things, instead of trying to say we know, when Christ assures us that only the Father does know, we need to understand that this is a guidance piece for us, for our lives. Waiting is not easy, is it? Whether I'm waiting in line to pick up Barbara over at Meijer, or I'm waiting in line at Hannaford, or I'm sitting down and waiting for the kids to clean their rooms. It's funny how the line at Hannaford moves faster than the kids cleaning their rooms. Life is filled with times of waiting. For me, waiting is not something I do well. When I was a kid and I had a loose tooth, that sucker was going to come out quick. I couldn't wait for it to normally loosen. So I sat there just wiggling that tooth, speeding it up, so to speak. If I was not patient, I would get in trouble growing up because I would tell my little sister, the car leaves for church at such and such a time, and if you're not ready, you're staying home. Needless to say, I got in trouble a time or two for leaving Jenny at the house and Mom having to drop her off. If patience were a virtue, it's one that I think collective society finds itself lacking. And yet patience goes directly with hope. Patience is waiting for God, waiting for God to act. Patience with one another. It's all about when God is going to do what God is going to do. Think about this. Before Christ was born, the people had waited. God had been silent. In the prophet Micah, God said, I'm not going to talk until. And you think the people didn't just sit on the edges of their seats waiting to hear the prophet who would predict the coming of the Messiah? You don't think the people were looking, trying to find where that person was? God was quiet for roughly 400 years. Do you think the people waited patiently for God? No. They looked and interpreted signs, saw things that they wanted to see and things. They listened to people they thought were the leaders. And they were wrong until the voice came in the wilderness. Until the voice of God spoke. Patience is one of those things that as people of faith, as God followers, it's part of who we are. When you look at that longing that the people of God had and how they had transformed their longing into a sort of not listening peace, they transformed what God had predicted and said into their own preconceptions and misinterpretations. They decided that they didn't want the Messiah that was predicted, the Messiah that was promised. They wanted Alexander the Great or someone of that nature coming riding on a charger, full armor, with his sword at his side, ready to get the Romans out. And yet, instead of that, they received a baby in a manger. A baby who is both a king, but also a prophet and a priest as well. But then later, he ascends to heaven, and his followers, who had him so close, had to wait again. But now we wait for him to return. We wait and hope for the main moment when he will return. And so we stand at what is a crossroad of life and faith. It's a moment where liturgy and functionality kind of form together. Faith informs and shapes how we live out and work with life. Because what is Advent? What is Lent? But almost life fire drills. Life fire drills where we prepare ourselves for the moment when Christ comes. Little opportunities to practice and prepare. It's always interesting when the nursery school is having a fire drill because in my head I know that what's coming. And at the same time, I also want to go and get out of the building because of what's going on. But what's going to happen that time when I'm not ready? When I don't know that it's a drill and the alarm goes off. Am I going to stand in my office saying, oh, it must be another fire drill as the building may burn? No. I've got to live it out, work it out. It's about making ready and preparing. But at the base of that preparing is hope. Hope is what guides us and leads us, gives us something to live into, something to look forward to. Jesus gives us this lovely example of a man going on a journey, and I can let you guess who that man is. It's Christ. In seminary, we had the joke of, what's the answer? It's always Jesus. You're never wrong when you answer Jesus. Sometimes you were wrong, but you can live with being wrong when the answer is Jesus. Jesus gives us that example of the man who goes on a journey and you don't know when he's coming again. So what do his servants, his slaves do? Do they kick up their feet and say, well, he's not coming back today? or do they? Do they look forward and stand on the stoop waiting to see him? Or do they continue with the work that has been given them by the Master? Working and serving, serving and working, in the hope that the Master will return at some point. Hope isn't just about what you hope for, like the things the kids listed off. It's also the hope that gets us out of bed every day, that Christ is coming again, that Christ is with us in our going out and our coming in, that whatever happens, be it good or ill, Jesus is Lord. These are things we, of faith, hope for and look forward to. And so we're forced to ask ourselves the question as we begin Advent, what do we do while we wait? What does our hope in Christ's return lead us to do? Now, we run into a bit of confusion when we read this scripture because it's all happened, right? Everything that Christ said was going to happen has happened. So what do? Well, if we were little kids, we'd sit on the stoop and say, well, Grandpa and Grandma are going to be here in just a minute. And then an hour later, and an hour later, and an hour later. The problem is there's no checklist for us as we wait and hope. It's not like in college or seminary where you have your list of projects and exams, you check off the boxes, or like when you're decorating your house, you check off, all right, got that wreath done, got that done, exterior lights, check that box. You're not checking off boxes. They've all been checked off. Now you have to wait. And that's the challenge for us. Because while we hope and wait, we hope and wait and continue to hope and wait. It's not a patient time for us, is it? That all we can do is what God has set before us. All we can do is continue to work and work and work. There's no, like kids do, bothering mom and dad until they give in. There's no throwing tantrums or whining or bothering until you get what you want. You can't force this. You can't make it move quicker. It's going to be when it's going to be. And so all we can do is wait. All we can do is continue to serve in the interim. Jesus has given each of us something to do, or in some cases, some things to do, to serve his kingdom. And all we can do, as we hope, and as we work and live into that hope, is continue to live and serve and love our God. Brothers and sisters, continue to work in hope. And the hardest part is we have made Christmas and Advent hard to have hope, hard to live into this season because it's so chaotic and so busy. We have so much on our plates, and yet there's so many opportunities to live, to love, and to serve in this season of the year. So let us do so. Amen.